would like to ask you this morning to please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll just read one verse of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'd like to read the 33rd verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. The Word of God says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now that word, usually when we use the word communication today, we're talking about talking back and forth. But this word in the Scripture means associations. It means companionship and friendship and fellowship with. Evil associations, evil companionship, evil going around with evil people will corrupt the very best people that there are. And I pray that God will help us to think about what God's saying here, and that God will help us as His people to realize the seriousness of being associated and being friends with and having fellowship with those that are ungodly. And before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we need Thee in this hour. We need Thee every moment of our lives. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. And we know that we will not be able to worship Thee in this hour without Thy help. We thank You for the singing of songs of praise and for the prayers that have already gone before Thy throne of grace. But we pray now that as we begin to read and study Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us into all truth, that we would hear and understand, believe, and obey the truth, that we would walk as children of light to Thy name's honor and glory. Help us, Lord, to know and realize and remember that there's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a straight and narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So help us, Lord, as we hear the Word of God this day, to realize the seriousness of the subject that we're considering. We pray that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. Pray that we would be doers of Thy Word and not hearers only. Lord, we do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that You know the needs of each person. We don't acquaint Thee with anything, but we come praying for those that stand in great need of Thy help. Lord, there are many that have the flu and other sicknesses that are not critical, but we know there are others that are in very serious condition. And we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ, bless all of Your children, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We do beg You, Lord, to bless those with cancer. We pray that You'd bless Brother Donnie in a very special way this Thursday, that as he has his surgery, the doctors will be able to remove the cancer, and that You would strengthen him and bless him with a speedy recovery, completely lift him up and restore him to his health. We pray that You would bless all of his family during this time. We pray that You would bless others that are facing surgery. And we pray, Lord, that You would comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray that You would bless the family of little Caleb McKinnon. You would be with them and help them. Bless the family of Brother Verlin Minshew. Pray that You would bless Sister Betty in a very special way. Bless all of Your children, Lord. There are so many who stand in great need of Thy help. Bless Brother JT's brother. Pray that You would bless their family. Again now, help us in this hour. Pray that You would lift us up into a sacred nearness with Thee. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to reread verse 33. The Word of God says, "Be not deceived." Now why does He begin that? God could have just said, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." He could have just said that. That evil, just set forth that declaration, evil communications, going around with people that are ungodly, they will corrupt your life. He could have said that, but he begins this statement by, "Be not deceived." Why? Because most all of us feel like the devil deceives us into thinking that we can be around anybody without it, what do we say, rubs off on us. We can be around anybody and it's not going to rub off on us. Many of you have heard old expressions that deal with this subject about evil communications. How many of you have ever heard, you just complete this statement, you can't lie with dogs without what? Without getting fleas. Birds of a feather, what? Flock together. The reason that those old people came up with all of those statements, they all center around this truth that Word of God is saying here, that evil communications, having association and fellowship and friendship with those who are ungodly, they will corrupt you. No matter who you are, they will destroy your life. Evil communications. Don't be deceived. Evil communications, evil friends will corrupt your life. The Word of God says that we're to flee from them. We're not to be around them. There are many statements that are made in the Word of God. First of all, I just want to mention two or three. One says, do not desire to be with evil men. Have you ever wanted to be with evil people? Have you ever known that there was something going on? You teenagers especially, you're thinking about spring break. I can remember that when my teenagers were growing up, that Marty wanted to go on spring break, go down to Florida with a bunch of boys. And you know you can trust me, Daddy. No, you can't trust a teenager to go off like that and be alone. And you can't allow teenagers to buffalo into thinking that you can trust them. You can't trust teenagers. You can't trust yourself to go off with a bunch of people that are going to be doing ungodly things and think you're not going to be contaminated with that. I'll tell you, brethren, God's Word is true and every man's a liar. The devil's a liar and a murderer. The devil wants you to think you can be around people that are living ungodly and it won't affect your life. God says, don't be deceived. Evil communications will corrupt your life. They will destroy your life. And everybody wants to be with the in crowd. Everybody wants to be with those that are out having a good time. I'll tell you, brethren, the road they're on is going to lead to destruction. And if you want to be a part of the in crowd, and you want to be a part of those that are doing things that are ungodly, they will corrupt your life. They will destroy your life. Does the devil deceive us all into thinking that we can be around them without participating in it? God says, just don't be deceived. Don't let the devil trick you in that way. Don't let the devil tempt you into thinking that you can be around those that are living ungodly and doing ungodly things, but it's not going to affect your life. So the Bible says, do not desire to be with evil men. So another scripture says, he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Another scripture says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Don't we typically want to follow the crowd? How many of you don't think you have ever wanted to be a part of the crowd? Is there anybody here that has never wanted to be a part of the crowd? Now, there may be one or two that I'll tell you, my desire in growing up, it's part of human nature. It's part of what we are, that we want to be with the crowd. We want to do things that other people are doing. And yet the Bible is telling us here that if you don't want your life to be destroyed, then you need to understand evil communications. Being around people that are doing things that are ungodly, evil communications corrupt good manners. You can be taught what is right. You can be taught the right way. You can hear the Word of God all of your life. But when you begin to associate and be friends with and have fellowship with those who are living ungodly, then your life is headed towards destruction. Now, is that true of every child of God or just some children of God? Are there some children of God that doesn't apply to? Are there some children of God that are strong enough that they can go around with those who are living ungodly? Let me give you an example. One of the statements about Jesus Christ is, one of the condemnations that were made about Jesus was that this man sitteth down and eateth with publicans and sinners. Now, did the Pharisees understand that you weren't supposed to have fellowship with them? Did the Pharisees understand this truth that evil communications corrupt good manners? They understood that. What was the problem? What was the difference? What was the difference in what Jesus was doing and what the Pharisees were doing? Listen, brethren, first of all, Jesus was God in the flesh, but that's not the main point. The main point is that when Jesus sat down with publicans and sinners, He sat down with them to show them the error of their way. Jesus was never around those that were living ungodly and just kept quiet about it and had fun with them and participated in their ungodliness or was just quiet while they were being ungodly. Every time Jesus ever sat down with publicans and sinners, He sat down with them to show them the error of their way. He did not sit down with them and have fellowship with them in their ungodliness. You will never find in all of God's Word that Jesus Christ ever had fellowship with people while they were living ungodly. He would sit down to correct them and show them the error of their way. But that was the limit of Him sitting down and eating with and having fellowship with publicans and sinners, was He would sit down to show them the error of their way. Evil associations, evil companions will corrupt your life. Don't be deceived. Because if you're deceived and you think it won't happen to me, then you're going to experience a great hell in your life. Back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, still in this book of, you know, 2 Corinthians. The church at Corinth had a major problem with this whole idea of evil communications and evil friends. Were there a lot of divisions in the church at Corinth? Do you know why there were a lot of divisions in the church? It's because there were a lot of evil people in the church. What happened? What was happening in the church at Corinth? Evil associations were what? What's the next word? They were corrupting good people. Evil associations were corrupting good people. What does he say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? He says there was a member of the church that was committing fornication. You know, I've heard people say, I want you to listen carefully to this, because this is a rather common idea or thought. It's an erroneous belief. But I heard a person stand up in conference one time when I was a young teenager, when there was a member of the church that had committed adultery. And the person was brought before the church, which the Word of God says should be done. And there was a member of the church that stood up and opposed that person being put out of the church. And here's what this man said. This old man said, I'm not going to be a part of sending anybody to hell. Well, now what did he fail to understand, brethren? He failed to understand. He thought that by the church carrying out church discipline, that was going to send the man to eternal hell. That wasn't at all the teaching of God's Word. I'm telling you, brethren, there will be more people in heaven that are not part of the church of Jesus Christ than those who are part of the church. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. There are many people. Now, that may not be a true statement. Let me back up. I don't know how many is going to be in heaven. Either way, I'll just back up and say this. There are a lot of people who will be in eternal heaven who were never a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the visible local church. Am I saying that's all right, don't be a part of the church? I'm telling you, it's a sin to not be a part of His church. It's a sin to know Jesus Christ and not stand up and say, I believe that He's my Savior. I know that He's died on the cross and saved me from my sin. It's a sin not to walk down the aisle and make public confession and submit to water baptism. It is a sin to do that. But it's also a sin to think that just because you're a member of the church, that's going to keep you out of eternal hell. Being a member of the church or not being a member of the church has nothing to do with your final destiny. Being a member of the church does have a lot to do, and confessing Christ has a lot to do with your fellowship with God while you live here in this world. And in the church, it is the responsibility of the church to remember and know evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil companionship will corrupt the church. That's the reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 there was this member of the church who was committing fornication, and the church was told by the Apostle Paul, through inspiration of God, that the church must put that member out of the body. Why? Why? Why did the church have to put this person out of the body, out of the church? Why did they have to do that? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. Now he says something in this chapter that I think is easier to remember than evil communications corrupt good manners. I want you to notice this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, notice verse 6. It's the same teaching. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and listen now, the church at Corinth was glorying. They were glorying what? They were glorying in the fact they didn't carry out church discipline. Oh, we're Christians. We love people too much to put them out of the church. Did you know that's a lie from the devil? You know what happens when a church does it? When a church is deceived into thinking that it's fine for people to live ungodly and be a part of the church, that church has been deceived and does not understand the truth that a little leaven, what? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A church that will ignore members that are walking ungodly, that church does not love her members. That church does not love the members of the body. It's not love that keeps people from disciplining them. It's a lack of love. Love and discipline are inseparable. And so it is, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, what? That's right. Thank you, Sister Stalvey. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf, she said. Is that what you said? Levels the whole lump. Leavens the whole lump. It spreads, doesn't it? Oh, not with me now. Not with me. See, with me it's different. No, you're deceived if you think you've got this little shield around you. You're deceived if you think that you're different than everybody else. Jesus is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. It will destroy your life. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. One member in the body left undetected when they're and left unchecked and left undisciplined when they're walking contrary to the Word of God, that will spread throughout the body. Do you know why sin? Do you know why divorce and remarriage is higher in evangelical churches today than it is in the world? People who don't go to church. Now some say, well, the reason that's true is because people who don't go to church don't get married. Well, that's true to some degree. Some don't, but I'm telling you, it's an abomination in the sight of God that unscriptural divorce and remarriage is tolerated in the church today. You know what the church is doing? They're ignoring what God's Word says. Do you know why people can commit adultery and be a part of the church? There are people who are deacons and preachers and everything else who are in the church and living ungodly. Why does the church ignore it? Somebody tell me, why does the church ignore those kinds of things? Say it again.
So they'll have members.
Okay. Brother Wendell said, so they'll have members. That's one reason. One reason that we don't want to deal with problems is because you're going to lose members if you deal with problems. Well, it's true that you will lose some members, but it is also true the Lord will add to the church when His church does what she's supposed to do. What's another reason we don't want to deal with problems besides we don't want to lose any members?
Judge not that you be not
judged. All right, the Scriptures, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Isn't that a good reason not to carry out church discipline? Listen, brethren, the Word of God makes it plain. We're not to carry out personal judgment, but we're to carry out the judgment God calls for in His Word. When I read the Word of God, or you read the Word of God, and God's Word says that a member of the church has to be put out of the body, but I don't do it. You know what I'm doing when I don't do that? I am judging. The supreme judge, Jesus Christ, God Himself has said they're to be put out of the church. But when I don't do it, I set myself above God and say I'm not going to do what God says to do. I am judging when I don't do what God says to do. When I do what God says to do, I'm not carrying out personal judgment. I'm carrying out the judgment God calls for. The same one, Jesus Christ, who says, judge not that you be not judged. That same man who is God in the flesh says, judge righteous judgment. Jesus said that. Judge righteous judgment. How do you tell the difference in righteous judgment and personal judgment? Righteous judgment is what God calls for in His Word. What did God tell this church at Corinth to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Come down to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. What's that mean, not to keep company? Say it again, Brother Ken. Stay away from them. Is that the same thing as what we read in 1 Corinthians 15? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Therefore, stay away from them. Put away, he says, now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, are we saying they're not a child of God just because they commit these things? Absolutely not. There are many children of God who commit these things, but they must be put away. You cannot have fellowship with them while they're doing those things. Now, this same man that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he was put out of the church, and guess what happened when he was disciplined by the church? What happened? Those of you that know about 2 Corinthians. He repented. He cried. He wept. He wept unto death. And the Apostle Paul wrote the church back and said, now this man has brought forth fruit meet for repentance. Now receive him back into the church. I'll tell you, he began to be a different kind of man before the church could have fellowship with him. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Was the man an evil man after he had repented and come back to the church and was living a different lifestyle? He was not an evil man then. Was he still a man? Did he still sin? Yes, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. But he wasn't committing those abominable sins the Word of God identifies that the church cannot tolerate. He says in verse 11, I'm going to read 11 through 13, but now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. What does that mean? Don't eat with them. What does that mean, don't eat with them? Well, it can mean the communion service, certainly, but what else can it mean? Don't have fellowship with them. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. Why? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? That is, outside the church. Do not ye judge them that are within? He's asking a question in the last part of verse 12. He says, don't you judge them that are within? Is the church supposed to judge them that are within the church? Is it? Yes. That's what he's asking. Don't you judge them that are within? And then he says, but them that are without, that's outside the church, but them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Who does that? Does God do that for the church? Or is that a responsibility God's given to the church? Put away from among yourselves. That's the church's responsibility to put them out. Then once they're out, who will judge them? Then God will judge them. And what will happen if the church doesn't put them out? God will bring His judgment not only on that individual, but God will bring His judgment on the whole church. Why? Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And the judgment that would have come only on that one individual eventually will be carried out on the whole body. Go to 2 Corinthians just a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians. What we're looking at this morning, trying to look at, is evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around people that are doing things that are wrong, you're going to be polluted. It's going to corrupt you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, and let me say to all of you teenagers, don't you ever date anybody that you wouldn't marry. Don't you ever date anybody you wouldn't marry. Don't you ever date anybody that is not already a solid Christian. You hear what I'm telling you? If they're not a solid Christian and you're dating them and your parents are allowing you to date them, you and your parents are headed down a path to destruction. Every parent here ought to have a firm rule in your home. You cannot, you will not date somebody, and you will not be friends with somebody. You will not have fellowship with somebody that's not a strong Christian. You might disagree with that all you want to, but you're deceived if you think it won't destroy your life. That's God's rules. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? Don't be unequally yoked together. I'll even go further than that. I'll say that it's wrong for you to enter into a business transaction. That is, don't you enter into a business. If me and Brother Donald are going to start a business and I'm not a Christian, he better not enter into that business with me as partners in that business. What are we then? We are unequally yoked together. That doesn't mean you can't work. He addresses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Doesn't mean you can't and don't sometimes have to work for ungodly people, but don't you be yoked together with them. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying evil communications corrupt good manners. That you have no reason to ever have fellowship and go around with people that are living ungodly. Come down to verse 17. Verse 17 says, wherefore, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me say this. I'm going to say something else. If you're part of a church that's not following the teachings of God's Word, you know what you're doing? If you're part of a church that's not trying to follow the Word of God, you're unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you align yourself, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. If there's any organization that organization has ungodly principles, if the principles of that organization are contrary to the teachings of God's Word, and you align yourself with that organization and become a part of that organization, you're headed for destruction. What does he say in verse 17? Wherefore, what? I'm just going to have to go. We have a presidential election coming up. Does everybody understand this? We've got a presidential election coming up. Not getting into politics, I'm just telling you something you better remember. You look at the platform of the Democratic Party, you look at the platform of the Republican Party. The platform, I'm talking about what these two parties represent. I'm not a staunch Republican. Do you understand that? I'm not a staunch Republican. I'll vote for nobody before I'll vote for somebody that's ungodly. But a party that is an ungodly party, a party, and the Democratic Party, part of their platform is they support abortion and homosexuality and everything that's contrary to God's Word. They uphold that. That's part of their principles. And if I align myself with that Democratic Party, I don't care if it's for economic reasons or what the reason is, if I align myself with them, you know what I've just done? I've said, well, it won't happen to me. I'm just going to vote for this man for president because it'll be good for our economy. It will be horrible for our economy. Destruction will come on your economy and my economy when we compromise with truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to verse 17. The Word of God says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now who does that? Come out from among them. Who is commanded to do that? Who is it that God is commanding? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Are Christians supposed to be separate from the world? Yes, we are. Do you still have to live in the world? You still have to be living in the world, but you don't have to have fellowship with the world because evil communications corrupt good manners. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, listen to me in closing. I want to just mention a couple of other things. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, were there people already living in the land? What kind of people were living in the land? Heathens were living in the land. You know what God told the children of Israel? He said, now when you go into that land, you better drive them out of the land. You better kill the people in the land. You better get rid of those people. And what did the children of Israel do? What did God tell them? He said, if you don't get rid of them, if you don't destroy them, if you don't drive them out, then I'm going to bring the same judgments on you that I was going to bring on them. And what did the children of Israel do? They went into the land of Canaan and they killed some of them, but what did they then begin? Eventually, what did the children of Israel begin to do? They began to compromise and they began to make leagues with them and covenants with them and say, well, now you can be our servant. You don't have to leave. You can just be our servant. And when they began to compromise, God's judgments came on the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. You know what's happening to America today? Do you know why our public school system is in the mess it's in today? It's because we refuse to come out from among them and be separate. We're compromising. We're compromising. I don't know how long we as Christians can continue to be deceived into thinking that evil communications, and there are evil communications coming out and pouring out. You look at the foundation of public education today, and you will see it's corrupt. It is corrupt. I'm not talking about just our local system. I'm talking about you take the National Education Association, you look at everything that's part of public educational system, it's humanity, it's humanism, and it's rotten to the core, the principles of it. And we cannot continue to be a part of it without corrupting ourselves. Don't be deceived. It'll happen to you. It'll happen to me. Go with me in closing to go to the book of Psalms just a moment in closing. Psalm 1, I want you to listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 1, first Psalm, listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man. Who is it that blesses the man? God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Would you get ungodly counsel? Will you get plenty of ungodly counsel? That means instruction. That means suggestion. That means advice. Do you get ungodly advice? Is there... You want something that's cheap? You know what's cheap in this world? Advice. You want some advice, you ask just about anybody you want to, and you'll get advice, won't you? You can pick up the phone and call almost anybody. You get all kinds of advice. There's good advice based on God's Word, and there is ungodly advice. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is when the ungodly tells you to do something, and it can be children of God that are ungodly. Let me emphasize that. Many children of God are living ungodly and will give you ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You want to have fellowship with them? What's going to happen? You're going to be destroyed. But his delight, this man that's blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be. Who is it that's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? That individual that comes out from among them and is separate. That individual that will not have fellowship with ungodliness. That individual that will not follow the crowd. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you hear that last expression? Whatever you do will prosper if you do what's right in the sight of God. And whatever you do will come to naught if you decide you're going to hold hands with the world instead of following Jesus Christ. May God help us to realize the seriousness of the matters we're facing in our society today. We're making decisions every day that are going to affect our future and the future of your children and your grandchildren. May God help us to understand evil associations, evil communications corrupt good manners is my prayer for Christ's sake.